Hello and welcome to Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures, the podcast that pulls the curtain back on a world that maybe you didn't want to pull the curtain back on.
Yeah.
Our lives. What's going on with our lives? What are we doing? All the stuff like that. Just to give you a little bit more of a personal spiel behind the curtain here on Patreon. So last episode, we talked about, you know, going from full-time, freelance to full-time, how much I didn't enjoy my trip to New York, the last time I went to New York.
Yes.
Ashley.
Jason.
As we start off all two of these, Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures, what have you been up to? What are you doing? We got to work on that catchphrase. I'm sorry.
A lot of what I've done today has been packing. I am at the end of this day where we are recording this going to New Zealand. On a long flight, the likes of which I've never come close to before.
How many hours is it?
I believe it is 19.
Okay.
Which is also going to be the time difference between you and me once
wow,
I land.
That's amazing.
It's like I'll be a whole day in
you'll be
the
living
future.
In the future. Yeah, that's cool. I've been on one of those long flights before, so
I think, yeah, enjoy. Yours was probably longer.
24 hours was my flight.
Yes. So here's a little thing about Ashley. When I travel,
here's a little thing about Ashley.
There you
I'm
go.
Bringing jingles into this.
Great.
Unproduced
people
jingles.
People want to make jingles, they could send them to us.
Oh my God, I would love that for a Patreon exclusive podcast.
Yeah, there
oh
you go.
Oh my God.
When I travel, I try to only take a backpack.
Okay.
No matter how long I'm going for, and barring that, I try to only take a backpack and something else I can drag onto the plane. Because even though I'm going to this for work, so I'm not paying for it, checking bags sucks. And picking up a checked bag sucks. Mm-hmm. So I would like to
avoid
that. It slows
you down. Sometimes they lose it. Yeah,
I've had my luggage lost. Oh, actually, only by American Airlines. Thank you.
I've never had my luggage lost.
Always going through Denver, Colorado. So I hate that airport.
Denver.
Sorry to all of our Denver listeners. So in an effort to...
I actually like that town otherwise.
I've never been to Denver except to the airport.
Oh, we should go.
Sure, we should go hang out with Brian Ibbett.
Brian Ibbett from The Morning Stream.
So, and Coverville, other podcasts that are not this one.
That's right.
So I've been trying to pack 4 days worth of clothes for a completely different climate than what I live in.
Because it's cold there, right?
Yeah, it's for real people.
They're
temperatures,
in the winter, right?
It is. Hemisphere. It is the highest 14 Celsius with rain. And in America, it's 63 with rain.
I was going to say, you need to give us, like, come on.
So for not real people temperatures, it is 63.
For the temperatures of our water brining fathers.
Yeah, exactly. And so I've been thinking a lot recently about international travel, and I've been very fortunate I've been able to travel a lot. And the first time I ever went out of the country, which was Canada, because that's where I was living at the time, I was 14, and it was to go to England and Scotland with my high school band. It was really, really cool.
I can't believe your band went internationally. That's crazy. My band would barely leave the state.
We only went international every few years. Like, the years I was in high school, that was the only one that went international. But if you were – the school had other international trips that would be offered to – students at different streams. Usually, if you took like a Latin or a language class, you were offered. I got to go with my school. I got to go to Costa Rica. I got to go to England and France for the 90th anniversary.
But this trip you brought up, where were you going again?
England and Scotland.
And what were you going to perform there? At a parade or a concert?
Here's the crazy thing. So I was 14, so I was in the ninth grade. And you had to be in the symphonic band, which was what grade 11 and 12 students played in. It was like the good band.
You're in the varsity band?
There's no varsity in Canada, so I don't know what that means.
The senior juniors.
I don't know what junior. I don't. None of your stupid high school terms make any sense.
Oh my God, these adventures are becoming confusing.
Grade 11 and 12. But because I was fortunate enough to be taking private lessons, I was able to play in symphonic band even though I was in ninth grade.
Nice.
So we got to go. I don't think we were invited. I just think we decided to go.
You mean your teacher was like, let's just go.
I guess.
Okay, sure.
I mean, it would have been planned obviously well in advance, but like we played outside of a bunch of castles and monuments, but like it wasn't part of a ceremony. It wasn't part of like an educational effort. We just like parked out front of a castle, played a couple traditional songs, and some tourists came and looked at us and then like fucked off and went and toured around the castle.
Yeah. Okay. So set this scene up. Okay. So the bus pulls. What was one of the landmarks you went to?
Okay. We flew there. We connected in England. We got off in Edinburgh. I think.
Edinburgh. Home of
Lord... Glasgow. We landed in Glasgow.
Glasgow, the summer home of Lord Carleton.
Probably not.
What?
The first thing they did after the longest flight I'd ever been on up to that point in our life was they put us on the bus and they drove us to the William Wallace Monument, which if you've never been to the William Wallace Monument, is a giant tower with like 300 stairs in it. And it's all these kids between 14 and 18, and they were like, climb to the top, motherfuckers. Like, you're tired, you're hungry.
Did they actually talk to you that way?
Go. Like,
the curse words of this, like, could come out of nowhere.
No, not those teachers. Some of the other teachers, probably. Okay. But yeah, the first thing I did was climb to the top of the monument.
Did you play in front of the William Wallace Monument?
We didn't. We played in front of...
William Wallace not good enough for your band?
We did learn the Braveheart Suite, which is really, really
perfect
amazing.
Perfect opportunity!
I know, we didn't, though. I think because we were mostly, like, drunk on being tired. We played in front of Stirling Castle, which is one of my favorite castles in the whole wide world.
What is Stirling Castle? I don't know.
Stirling Castle, S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G, is in the town of Stirling.
Okay.
It's a castle.
Is that it? That's all you need
basically,
to know?
Basically. Okay. I thought it was really cool to be there because it was an important part of Mary, Queen of Scots, was born there, and she went back and ruled there when she came back from her schooling in France. So it's important historically, but, you know, now it's... It's a museum
okay.
on top
so
of the
you,
hill.
Okay, let's back up to okay, my original so question they, of so like four minutes ago. All right, so you pull up to Stirling Castle.
Yeah.
What were you wearing?
Me?
No. What was the like? Did you guys have a band uniform?
Oh yeah. So the band uniform is like black dress shoes, black dress pants, white button-up t-shirt that we all had to buy from the same store in town. they were all men, so they looked hideous on all of us because we're all weird-looking teenagers. Red tie that we all had to buy from the same store.
Oh, this is a bad outfit.
And then
they look like penguins with
we
a bad tie.
Had, we had very specific jackets. Like they were like rain jackets that were fleece lined, and it had like the crest, the school crest, and then your name embroidered, and then on the arm it had your instrument.
Oh Lord.
And
I guess on like band marching. Okay, so you pull up to Stirling Castle, you're wearing these bad penguin outfits polo shirts.
They're not pulling, they're button-up shirts.
Do you have your instruments in your hands?
Yeah, so like we had to carry them with us on the bus and everything.
You couldn't bring your cases?
Yeah, they came in the cases.
No, are your cases on the bus?
Yeah.
Like, so the kid with the tuba, his case is on the bus.
The tuba is under the bus.
Okay.
My flute is in my lap.
So you get out of the bus.
Yeah, we trundle off the bus. It's raining because in Scotland it's always raining.
And your teacher just... Does anybody meet you at the castle?
No, the band leader like came with us on the bus.
No, listen. I'm trying to set the scene here. Okay, I'm trying to set the scene here.
Yeah.
Okay,
we were not invited to the castle.
I know. That's what I'm trying to get to.
No, we like trundle off the bus in the rain. Everyone like gets their instruments, gets their music stands.
Your teacher's just like go stand over here.
Yeah, basically.
What the hell?
And we like set up and play for I don't know maybe 20 minutes.
Did your teacher just want to go to England?
I guess. The funny thing that I remember about this was I got a really bad head cold on the plane over.
Okay.
And I was also in the choir, and we would go to like churches, which I guess
because you also played the flute during this trip, I assume.
Yeah, I played the flute in the band, and I sang in the choir. We must have like
Ashley plays the flute. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah, we must have gotten permission. Although I really don't think we were in because like nobody welcomed us in. We just
that's what I was gonna say. Like
we just showed up and like sang in these churches.
Did anybody ever tell you to leave?
No. They like no, but people would sit. Listen and stuff.
That's so weird.
It is really weird.
This is a really weird trip.
We played outside the Tower of London. The Tower of London's dope because it's where Anne Boleyn was killed and it's covered in ravens.
I'm going to ask you another question here. Was there any possibility that there was perhaps some giant jewel thefts? thieves?
Of the British.
Were any major British items missing when you came back?
I don't know.
There's something
confirm.
Weird here. This is such a weird scheme.
When we were in London, though, we went in May. It was the hottest day they'd had in 50 years.
Oh, good God.
It was so hot. They took us to a bunch of weird places. Like school trips are weird. Like, we went to the Scottish wool factory and saw, like, how you herd sheep with sheepdogs.
It's because as a teacher, you're just looking for any
stuff that's free.
You're looking for stuff that's cheap and free, and you're looking for stuff to waste time.
Yeah. The castles, I think, were the best, though. Stirling Castle is my favorite castle, so it was cool to play there. I was really hoping when we were in Edinburgh that I was going to see Billy Boyd, and I made 1,000 paper cranes to make the wish, and it didn't pay off.
Wait, wait, go back up and tell this story. Why 1,000 paper cranes?
So that's like a thing.
Is
that's
that your witchcraft?
In Japanese culture, yeah, I'm a witch. Okay. If I weren't lazy, maybe I'd be a witch, but I'm pretty lazy, and it seems like a lot of effort.
All right, cool.
It's this thing in Japanese culture that if you make 1,000 origami cranes, you get a wish. And that's sort of the premise of the book, right? Sadako and the 1,000 Paper Cranes, which is based on a true story. This girl who had cancer.
Sure. You know. I don't know that.
It's a book. You should Google it. It's great.
I've heard of Google.
So my good friend Lisa, who Jason knows, and I had a contest to see who could make 1,000 paper cranes first. I don't remember who won. I finished. I feel like she didn't finish, but I might be throwing her under the bus.
Yeah, she probably didn't finish.
And then I wished, because I knew I was going to Scotland, because obviously like we had to start planning and paying for it well in advance.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I just want to see Billy Boyd on the street, because he was my favorite actor from Lord of the Rings, which the last movie had released the winter before we went.
Okay.
And I didn't see him. It was very sad.
I know. Like, what are the odds that he wasn't just randomly at any of these castles you guys just went to
well,
for
we
no reason?
Well, we went to the city that he lived in, so 14-year-old me thought that the odds were pretty good.
How small did you think that city was, 14-year-old Ashley?
I mean, look, Edinburgh's a big city, but it's not like Los Angeles big.
Well, I know, but like, do you know this roughly how big it is?
No.
It doesn't matter. All right, cool.
I could look it up.
I didn't know. I had no idea.
That's the story of the first time I traveled internationally. Oh, and when I was on that trip, here's a little thing about my personal life.
You've already gotten pretty personal.
I had my first kiss at a castle in England. So that was a very special trip.
You guys all just paid for that. Man.
I'm not going to tell you the name of the person because I don't know what happened.
I'm going to guess Augustus.
Nah, you're wrong. But so, yeah. So that was the first time I ever traveled internationally. And every time I go out of the country, which is now the United States, I remember that trip very vividly. And I remember flying because it was so miserable, especially. And I'm mostly hoping that the gods of travel, whosoever they might be, bless me with an easier flight this time.
Are you going to go to any random New Zealand castles and play music?
I don't think there's castles in New Zealand.
What about people's houses? Are the people of New Zealand going to expect a lady playing her flute for no reason?
I'm not taking my flute. It's worth a lot of money.
Are the people of New Zealand, you said you were in the choir, so are people of New Zealand going to get serenaded?
Oh, I don't sing anymore as a life choice.
Outside of their houses.
No, mostly.
Look out, people of Wellington.
If you're in Wellington and you work in the rock quarry where they shot Minas Tirith, you'll probably see me there.
I don't know if they'll hear this by the time you get there.
Though. I doubt it. No. Yeah. I'm mostly going to go and enjoy being in New Zealand.
All right, cool.
So there you go. That's a weird thing about me. So, hey, Jason.
Yo.
What have you been up to?
I haven't been up to anything. I've been like a lot of editing and stuff like that. But no, what I want to talk about today is I realized that it was like the 12th anniversary of Batman Begins very recently.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman Begins is still my favorite superhero movie. It is my favorite superhero movie. A lot of people are like, when I saw New Guardians, I don't care. Batman Begins is my favorite because I have like a really special connection to it. Mm-hmm. Simply for the fact that for me, I love Mask of the Phantasm, but it's not a live action movie.
Yeah.
And that's why I knock it sometimes still. Like, I love it. If I were to objectively say what is the best Batman movie, it's going to be Mask of the Phantasm. But Batman Begins, just for the simple fact that you're seeing people do these things live action, it makes a difference. It really does, especially when you're reading a comic book. And so it was the 12th anniversary of Batman Begins, and 12 years ago, I was in the country of Iraq. And you might know this place.
Feel like 12 years ago?
Oh, man. It does feel like a long time ago. Part of it's like the thing, I must be just getting old, because it's like, I'm just like, God, I can't believe it's been 12 years.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My God. I remember when I passed the decade on being out of Iraq, and I was like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I remember that, too. I was there for that.
So Batman Begins. And so Batman Begins, I remember being so excited by that movie. I saw the teaser trailer before I got to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows that teaser trailer was like where he's walking over the hill, and you just hear the voiceover, and you're just like, what is this
awesome
movie? You're just like, what is this? Because it didn't look like a Batman movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being so excited to see that movie. And when I got deployed overseas to Iraq, because I was part of the army, I was like so mad. Because I was like, I'm going to miss. I remember it was funny. I was mad because I was very much into, like, I would see every movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think everyone goes through that phase in their early 20s.
Yeah, so I was going to miss Serenity.
Uh-huh.
I was going to miss Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, mm-hmm. and I was going to miss Batman Begins.
Wow.
Luckily enough, I got to see Revenge of the Sith because when you go deployed, like if you're there for like 360 days, they'll give you like 15 days leave back
stateside.
Back stateside. And so I was home here in the United States when Revenge of the Sith opened. So I was able to see it here, which was really cool.
Nice.
I was actually really happy about that. But Batman Begins didn't open until the middle of June, and I went back in June, and I was like, oh, man, I'm not going to see this. So I was on this long convoy. I did a lot of convoy duty driving up and down the country, and I ended up, I think June 12th was the date, or June 13th was the date, whatever, I don't remember. Ended up ending this convoy in this place called Arif John, Kuwait. It's called Camp Arif John.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this big bunch of trailers, bunch of tents out in the middle of nowhere with concrete barriers everywhere outside Kuwait City.
Sure.
And I remember getting there because Camp Arif John is actually one of the nicer places like to be if you're going to be over there. So anywhere in Kuwait, it's like a nicer place to be. So I went there and I was like, oh, well, okay, it's not so bad, because it was like one of the only places that you could actually leave your weapon behind. So I could leave my, because otherwise you had to have it on you at all times, you know. So like I would leave my weapon behind or whatever and go to the PX. And there was like a little recreational center like besides the PX. And they had a movie theater. And what they would do is they would play like movies every night at like 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time it would be like older movies. Like it wouldn't be newer movies. But they were like, oh, here's a theater. It seats like 50 people. We're going to show like things. And I remember like walking by there and being like, all right, I'm going to go see like what the movie is. Because I'm just like, I don't, you know, I didn't really have any close friends like on the mission. And I was like, I don't really want to hang out. I hang out with them all the time. I don't really feel like going to do this stuff like that. You know, I'm just going to go over here. And I walked by the movie theater and they had the poster for Batman Begins. And it was like, opens tonight. And I was like,
did you just go buy all 50 tickets immediately?
You didn't have to buy, you didn't have to buy tickets.
Oh, nice.
You just had to go by the box office and get a ticket to hold your seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately went and got, I think I was, I only had to like wait an hour. Like I was very close.
That's
like
not
we,
bad,
we'd gotten there very late. And I remember watching that movie and being like completely blown away and being like, oh my God, they finally got my Batman up on screen. I love this music. Batman Begins is my favorite because it's the only one that shows you the journey of Bruce. Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises completely forgets that.
Because there are people screaming into their phones right now, but what about the Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight is good because of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Knight is Heat. If you ever seen the Michael Mann movie, The Heat, it's Heat that Batman sometimes shows up in.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Batman is not the main character of The Dark Knight. I hate to tell you, it's not. Dark Knight almost stars the Joker, more so than Batman. But in Batman Begins, and it's something that I really kind of feel like I like the whole Dark Knight trilogy. I even like Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for what it is. It's not the best movie in the world, but it's okay. And if I ever watch the first two, I always watch the third one.
Yes.
Because there are scenes in the third one that are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They forgot that it was about the personal journey of Bruce. Like, Batman Begins is all about Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so much about Bruce, like, from the beginning to the end, and it makes an emotional connection with Bruce. The other two movies, to me, never make that emotional connection again. They never do. Like, they're amazing movies, and they're great drama, but they're just kind of showing you plot, I feel.
Yeah.
They're just showing you, like, oh, this thing happens, and this thing happens, and those things are cool, mm-hmm. and you're amazed by them, but you don't have the, like, wow. Like, the scene where he watches in Batman Begins, where Bruce watches the house burning,
mm-hmm.
is an amazing scene because he's like, what have I done? And it's the first time he realizes that, because you've seen the scene in that movie earlier in the movie where he's a young kid and he's just like, I don't care about this house.
Yeah.
You know, so you see him flip. And then at the end of the movie, they're like, that line that they recur several times, like, what are you going to do with this? He's like, I'm going to rebuild it brick by brick. And then Alfred's like, every single brick, Master Bruce.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, we could maybe make some modifications to the southeast wing, you know?
I remember thinking it was very weird when Dark Knight came around that he was in the penthouse.
Yeah, and he's in the bat bunker.
Yeah, like, I appreciate that they gave it enough time. Like, we didn't start with a new house right away.
But it was
weird to see him operating. Like, that, to me, felt much more Nightwing.
That he was in the city.
Than Batman.
I agree with you, but I am kind of glad that they let that time change happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, they did too much of a time change, and you were just like, oh,
sure,
okay.
Did.
But yeah, so I got to see that movie and I was so excited about it. And then after that movie, I went back into Iraq, and there were these places around every like army base over there, and they called them Haji Marts. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a little bit of an offensive term. I totally own up to it. Yes, but that's what they were called.
Named for the character in Johnny Quest.
In Johnny Quest, yes. And they would sell illegal movies there. And they would be like, you could buy them for like a dollar, and they'd be movies that would be in the theaters, but they would be like camcorder movies somewhere in France.
Sure.
Some movies you'd see the person set up. Some person you'd hear people cough. I remember one movie, like the camera guy, I guess, got caught and walked out before the end.
Amazing.
So I bought that Batman Begins disc and I watched the hell out of it. And I thought it was so impressive that I bought an extra copy and I sent it to my family in the States, because my mom is very much a person like she thinks movies are an extravagance.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't spend money on movies. She's just like, look, I can spend that $10 on so many other things. I'm not going to spend it on a movie when I can sit and watch TV at home.
Yeah.
So I sent her Batman Begins. Was like, you got to watch this movie. And I remember her even being like, oh, I like that movie.
Hey.
So, Batman Begins holds a special connection to me, overseas connection. And I don't know. I really like it. Which one of the movies of the three do you like?
I think I like Dark Knight the best.
Okay.
I think it has the most rewatchability.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was the first time. I think Cillian Murphy's Scarecrow is really good.
Yeah.
But I felt like...
And he's the villain of the first one.
Yes, he is. But I mean, I want to give him like respect, but I feel like the Dark Knight takes comic book movie villains to a new level.
Yes.
And even though the current crop of Marvel villains are a much lighter, sillier version, you don't like that. That shows a very big shift in that they could be real, honest threats.
I remember, and like many other people, the year the Dark Knight came out, I remember, because that was still in my period where I was like, I would see every single movie.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, there's no way Dark Knight doesn't win Best Picture, because I was like,
it didn't.
I know, but it was so much better than everything else that had come out that year.
It was the first superhero movie that felt like a film.
Yeah, and I remember that was what caused the outrage that made Oscar films open the categories up from 5 to like 8 to 10.
Because
everybody was like, how did Dark Knight not get it?
I also really liked Heath Ledger, and I liked a lot of the stuff that he was doing around that time. Like, I really liked Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
So when that happened... I think I look back on it with more fondness for that reason as well.
I remember coming around Heath Ledger once I saw him in the trailers. I originally was against him. I was like,
I think everyone was. It was like Daniel Craig. It was like Ben Affleck. Like, but once you saw it, you were like, oh, I get it.
Oh, you're talking about, okay. So I thought you meant them as choices for the Joker. I was like, Daniel Craig
is the
Joker.
I just meant like as actors where they were cast in something. They've done a tremendous work, but
you know who's a person?
Took a lot of people.
Well, it's because I had another person in mind for the Joker.
Who?
And I'm going to tell you, you know exactly who this actor is. And I kind of think it's tragic that he didn't get to play the Joker because now he's too old.
Mm.
Because I think he would have knocked it out of the
Joker
park.
Joker could be ageless, though.
I think he's too old now.
Okay.
Paul Bettany.
Yeah, he'd been great. Yeah.
Because at that time.
No, they smooth him over as the Vision. He'd be okay.
At like 2007, he was like skinny.
Yeah.
Gangly Joker.
Yeah.
Which is something we still haven't seen in the movies yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. And I thought he would have nailed, especially from Beautiful Mind, I was like, oh, this guy would have been like the perfect Joker.
Yeah, you'll never get him out of the Marvel camp now, but I think you could still cast him now.
Yeah, maybe, you know, or whatever.
He's a tremendous actor.
So, but yeah. Okay, cool. So like as we end off every Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures, Ashley, what are you reading right now? What do you like?
I am reading a book called I Am Morgan Le Fay by Nancy Springer. It was part of my research of revisiting a bunch of stuff when I wrote for Crave Online these 25 best King Arthur adaptations.
Yeah.
That book was really good, so I'm rereading it right now. I'm really enjoying it. If you like King Arthur, Morgan Le Fay, Miss of Avalon, it's a very feminist approach to telling her origin story up to Camelot. And then I also recently read a book called My Brother's Husband. Volume 1 has just been adapted into English. If you're into manga, if you're into LGBT stories, it's Pride Month. Go check it out. I'm really enjoying both of those.
Cool.
How about you? What are you reading?
I just finished Absolute Preacher Volume 2. Preacher is my favorite ongoing comic book series of all time. And Volume 2 is where the book gets really good. It passes the War in the Sun arc of Preacher. And it's amazing. It holds up. It grabbed me right in again. Like, and I was like, I read nothing else until I finished it. It was so good.
I didn't know you finished it.
It still holds up. It's so good. And there are so many amazing moments. And I'm so happy whoever's doing the collections picked the perfect moment to end the collection. And now I'm like, oh, I need Absolute volume. Even though I have all the softcover trades,
yeah.
I'm like, I want Absolute now.
Well, you'll probably have to wait till next year.
I have to wait till next year. They've been releasing like once a year. They always release them like when the new Preacher season comes out. But so I'm going to give you a little bit of spoilers for Preacher.
That's what, 20 years old?
it's 15 maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know how much of this they'll do in the show, but anyways, you'll probably this probably won't happen in the show for like 3 seasons.
Mm.
So, with how slow that show is going, anyways, so War in the Sun is this big. They go out to Monument Valley,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically Jesse, Tulip, and Cassidy against all their villains. Hair Star, this leader, this bald leader of who you saw in Preacher mm-hmm. season one. Leader of the Grail that's trying to create this new apocalypse and install their new messiah. Hair Star really wants it to be Jesse Custer because he has the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Saint of All Killers shows up, who is that cowboy who's unstoppable. And then, of course, the U.S. Army shows up. They all fight in the middle of Monument Valley, and it leads to a nuclear explosion going off. In the course of the battle, Jesse, Tulip, and Cassidy see Hairstar's private jet. They hop in it and they take off to avoid the nuclear blast. And something's wrong with the plane. The back door opens and Jesse gets thrown out. Cassidy catches him, but this is during daylight. Cassidy starts mm-hmm. burning. Leading up to this moment, Cassidy told Tulip that he loved her.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm so obsessed. And Tulip's like, are you a complete asshole? What's wrong with you? Jesse, to not burn up Cassidy, says, let me go with the word of God. And so Cassidy drops. The book jumps a month ahead. We see that Cassidy survived. Tulip is just in a drug-induced stupor.
Mm-hmm.
And Cassidy's taking advantage of her situation and sleeping with her.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse, we find out, is alive. We'll find out later. I want to spoil how he survived, but does survive. But he loses his eye. And so from then on in the series for the next 25 issues.
He wears an eye patch.
It's my favorite look for Jesse, is the eye patch.
Oh, really?
I want them to do it in the show.
I think it's my favorite Preacher cover, the paint where he's got the eye patch.
Yeah, they probably won't do it because in the Walking Dead comic books, Rick Grimes only has one hand.
Yeah.
And they've never done that in the show, so they probably won't do the same thing. But like, I really hope they give him an eye patch because mm-hmm. to me, it adds a lot to Jesse.
Cool.
Anyways. So Jesse starts hunting Tulip down. He's like, I'm going to go to all our hunting spots. And because, again, by this point, it's probably 2 months since he's supposedly been dead.
Yeah.
He goes to this old diner that Tulip and him loved in Phoenix, Arizona, because, you know, they're in Arizona, mm-hmm. of course, in Monument Valley. And he sees Cassidy and Tulip sitting in the main window. And he's like, oh, there she is. And he starts running toward.
Oh, I know what you're talking
he
about.
He starts running toward. And then Cassidy and Tulip kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse falls on the ground and goes, well, I'll be goddamned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they ended it. And I was like, ah! So there you go. I love Preacher. It's all good.
Cool.
There you go. I don't know. Any final thoughts? Do we have final thoughts on this show?
Travel safe and read Preacher.
Probably not on a plane because it can get you into some trouble sometimes.
I read Northlanders on a plane and it was not a great choice.
I've never read that series.
You would like it.
You think so?
I do think so.
I'm not a big fan of Vikings.
It's beautiful. It's really good.
All right, that's it for Jason and Axley's Excellent Adventure. I almost called you Axley. I don't know why.
That's because we were talking about Northlanders.
Axes? What?
Yeah, they wield axes. Thor's got an axe right now.
Yeah, it's Junjabar.
Yes, I'm sure you said it correctly.
I know I did. Anyways, thank you so much for your support over at Patreon. We hope you enjoy this extra stuff. We'll announce the movie stream later on here in a couple weeks. The next one, the Just League stream, is still up. If you're listening to this podcast, you can definitely go listen to it. It's still up, so it's there.
Yeah.
You can go, it's always cash. So thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed this window into our lives. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Jump in the phone booth, my friends, and we'll see you for the next Excellent Adventures. Because there's a phone booth in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. You get that?
Yeah.
I know you've never seen that.
It took
movie.
Me a minute, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I was like, are you the doctor?
I mean, it could be, but no. Bill and Ted. See ya.